Well, tonight let's open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter number 3. 2 Kings chapter 3, and while you're turning there, that text might sound familiar. We were in it for Sunday school. In 2 Kings chapter number 3, thank you very much. Yeah. Second Kings chapter 3. We'll start reading in verse number 15. 2 Kings 3. Would you stand with me as we read 2 Kings if you're able? 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 15. The Bible says, "But now bring a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 16. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, make these valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. It came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you bless the time in the Word of God here this evening. I pray that you give me the words to say. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to prepare our lives, Lord, to be used of you. And Lord, I pray that this great biblical truth would be, Lord, applied to our hearts and lives. We love you. Thank you again for loving us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you were in Sunday school, then you're aware of this context. Jehoram wants to reclaim Moab. The Moabites were servants of Jehoram's daddy, Ahab. And when Ahab died, the Moabites figured, you know, we can get out of this servitude. And so they rebelled. So Jehoram goes to Jehoshaphat, and he asks Jehoshaphat if he'd help him. Jehoshaphat says, "Yeah, I'll help you." And you know the story. They don't ask of God, and they go down. To try to take Moab back. Now, what you want to see in verse number 8 is this. In verse number 8, the Bible says, chapter 3, verse number 8, the Bible says, and he said, "Which way shall we go?" And the answer, "The way through the wilderness of Edom." So they're deciding that they're going to go. Over here is Moab. Moab is here. Ammon is here. Do you remember where these two groups of people came from? The Bible says in the book of Genesis that Lot was that Lot's daughters were with child from their father. And the two children that were born, one was Moab, one was Ammon. So we have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. They get together to go down around, and Jehoshaphat says, "This is the way that we're going to go. We're going to go around this way. It's the long way, but it's the best way. Because Moab won't be expecting it. They're not defended up there. And there's a natural water supply." What I find interesting is where they were. I don't have a black marker, but let me just write this down, these two things down here. If you were to look where Moab was and where the children of Israel and Judah were coming up, this is a valley. It's called the Valley of Zered, Zared. Now stay with me, I'm going to preach in a second, but you got to get this. So they're going to come around. The Bible says that it took them 7 days. So 7 days journey, they come around with their armies. There's the king of Edom, the king of Judah, and the king of Israel. And they come around, and they get to the valley of Zered, and they get there, and the Bible says that they've traveled that 7 days, and now they're out of water. They traveled that 7 days, they have the cattle, but it didn't rain. And when they got to the valley of Zered, the valley is also called Awali, Wadi, W-A-D-I. Do you know what that is? That's a ravine that is dry unless it's in the season of rain. And so when they got there, they were hoping there was water there, but there was no water there. So the kings are standing there, they don't know what to do. So they ask the man of God, they ask Elisha, "Hey, what should we do?" And so they ask Elisha, and Elisha answers them. But before he does, they have a minstrel play, probably a harp, plays. And watch what happens in verse 15. "But now bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played, and that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord." The man of God is about ready to prophesy. The kings are saying, what should we do that we could have water? We're gonna die here, of thirst, or we're gonna be defeated by Moab. We don't have enough resources to go back. What are we going to do? And the man of God says, I've prayed about it, and thus saith the Lord. So the next thing he says is from God Almighty. Is that true? Now listen. I know when he said, thus saith the Lord, I know that the king of Edom went, eh. Jehoram probably went, whatever. Jehoshaphat said, what? Because it was Jehoshaphat's idea to go to the man of God and find out what God wanted. So each king was going to hear the same thing, but I believe that one king was leaning forward and wanted to hear, thus saith the Lord. And so when he leans forward, thus saith the Lord, I can't imagine what they would think. Can't imagine Jehoram probably said, well, he's going to say, we're going to die. That's why God brought us out here. We're going to die. Thus saith the Lord, you're going to die. I know that's going to happen. And by the way, when Elisha says, Jehoram, why don't you go to your gods? Why don't you go to Baal and see if Baal's going to give you water, if Baal's going to provide you and get you out. See, you didn't go to Baal because Baal can't help you. Your army can't help you. Your cattle can't help you. The land's not helping you. Your false gods can't help you. So you're coming to God. Thus saith the Lord. Now, Jehoshaphat probably thought, well, Jehoram thinks we're all going to die, but I think the Lord's going to provide for us. I believe the Lord's going to let it rain. Maybe he thought that. Maybe he thought the Lord is going to, he's going to let us be able to go and travel without water. He's going to give us new strength. He's going to renew us. I don't know what Jehoshaphat thought. But I do know when Elisha said, thus saith the Lord, what he said, the king of Edom, the king of Israel, the king of Judah, did not expect that. What does he say? He says, thus saith the Lord, verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. You need to go through the entire valley and you need to start digging some ditches. Dig some ditches. You say, well, we're like little troughs in the... Well, let me explain to you what ditches are. If you keep your finger there in 2 Kings and go with me to Psalm 7. The best interpreter of the Bible is the Bible. Psalm 7. What are these ditches? The only other place, there's a couple places where ditches are mentioned. The one that comes to my mind is Matthew, that if the blind leave the blind, they both shall fall in the ditch. Right? In Psalm 7, look with me. Psalm 7, verse number 15. Psalm 7, verse 15, the Bible says this. The Bible says, he made a pit and digged it, and has fallen into the what? Ditch which he made. So a ditch is likened unto a digged pit. Remember when Joseph was thrown into a pit, and there was no water there? Normally the pit, it's a cistern. It's a well. It's not as deep as a well that you would think of, but it's a cistern. It's a place to hold water. So they're not just building troughs there. They're digging. He says, I want you to dig, and it's going to be deep. It's going to be a high capacity to be able to hold much water. And you're going to dig these ditches, and you're going to dig more than one. A couple things about digging ditches I want to share with you. Number one, digging ditches requires toil. Digging ditches requires toil, meaning that it's not just taking a shovel or a mattock and making some trench in the ground. We're talking about digging a ditch. We're talking about digging a pit. And we're not just talking about digging one. We're talking about digging many. I want this valley to be full of ditches. I remember when I used to do pavers and retaining walls, and I saw how to do it in high school. And when I graduated from college, I went back to doing that. When I pastored, I did that, and I got to the point where I was hiring people. And it was amazing to me that you would hire a teenage boy or even a guy in his 20s. You'd hire him, and every person you hired wanted to jump on the bobcat. Didn't matter. Didn't matter his experience. He wanted to jump on that bobcat. And to a man, I'd have to say, no, you don't start in the bobcat. You start with this. This is called a shovel. All right? This is a pickaxe. This is the shovel. This is manual labor. This is what we're paying you for. And if we're doing retaining wall, we're talking about digging a 3.5-foot ditch. It needs to be about 2 to 2.5 feet deep. And you can't get the machine back there, and you're digging. You're digging ditches. And no fun digging ditches. Never. I had so many people quit on me. I'd pay them $15 an hour. Couldn't keep them. I'm not doing this. Nobody wanted to dig ditches. He says here, I want you to dig ditches. Now think about the chain of command. The king's heard, dig ditches. All right. I know Jehoshaphat was okay with it. That's what the man of God said. I don't know what the king of Edom said. I know Jehoram was against dig ditches. I can just hear him in my mind. Dig, we're going to dig ditches. We need water. He wants us to dig ditches. Right? We're going to dig ditches. So now they get back to all their troops. All right, hear the word of the Lord. This is our battle plan. All right, what is it? Grab a shovel, boys. We're going to dig ditches. I would submit to you the problem. There weren't a whole lot of shovels in that infantry. They didn't go there to dig ditches. But I want you all to dig ditches. That's what we're going to do. And I can imagine, I can hear them grumbling, complaining, just like those guys that hire, grumbling. Well, you gotta dig, what are you digging ditches for? I'm digging these ditches. It's a lot of hard work. But listen to me very carefully. It is the work that gives access to the potential of God's blessing. Did you catch that? It is that toil that allows God to move and bless. I am not sure where we've gotten in our mind. Now, I know there's a generational thing, but I don't know where we've gotten in the point of Christianity where we thought that the Christian life is accepting Jesus and then Jesus providing for us the rest of our days. I'm talking about digging ditches. I'm talking about doing the work that God told us to do, knowing that it's commanded of the Lord. I don't care what it is. If God said to do it, then we do it. Knowing if I do this, then God is going to fill these ditches. God is going to bring the blessing. What am I talking about? I'm talking about when we raise young people, and as we're raising young people, what we're trying to do is get them to dig ditches. We're trying to get them to prepare for life. When somebody's dating, oh, I'm worried about the person I date. No, don't worry about the person you're going to date. Worry about the person you are. Do the preparation. Dig the ditch. Make yourself godly. Make yourself self-sufficient. Make yourself strong. Put yourself in the right spot instead of looking around. Digging ditches is preparing for God's future blessing. Digging ditches. Hey, what are we doing? We bought those classroom trailers. What for? Well, by God's grace, we're going to fill them. Amen. Why did we buy a bus? We're digging ditches. By God's grace, we're going to fill up that bus. Amen. Why did we get all those sectionals, cubicle sectionals? Because by God's grace, He's going to fill those ditches. We do the work. We plant and we sow and we water. And why do we do those things? Because I know if I do this, then God's going to bless and God will bring the increase. So they're digging the ditches, and they're not digging down for water. They're digging the ditches in preparation for God to bring the water. We see somebody that's good at what they do, and we are going to label that as talent. That person's very talented. And we kind of discredit the toil that went into it, the preparation that went into it. I read a quote by Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln said, if I was given 6 hours to cut down a tree, I spend 4 hours in preparation and prepare the axe. I spend the time to sharpen the axe. The preparation, it's all in the preparation. You see, somebody who's a good athlete, it's not that they are naturally talented and gifted. It is the preparation. It's the practice that they put into it. Because talent is never enough. It is the character. It is the preparing in it. If you hear a preacher go, well, that person can preach, it is not in the 40 minutes of the sermon delivery. It's in the 8 hours of preparation to deliver the 40-minute message. Everything is about preparation. And to put the time and to put the toil into it. I believe most churches fail and most marriages fail and most children fail and most businesses fail because we do not do the preparation work. Prepare. I read this, by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. Right? The meeting of preparation with opportunity generates the offspring we often call luck. We prepare. Now, this story is an amazing story, but do you realize there's a copycat story in the very next chapter? Well, let me show it to you. Look at chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter number 4. There's a widow. She has a need. The creditor's knocking on her door. Her husband's dead. She can't pay that debt. Look at verse 2. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2. Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even what? Empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Now, in my Bible, I circled the two words empty vessels, and I drew a line to the word ditches. Those vessels are the same thing as the ditches. Do you see that? He says, when you go out, okay, I'm going to help you provide. Money didn't come down from heaven. I'm going to help you prepare. God's going to bless you. God's going to bring that blessing. But you prepare for that blessing. You go out and toil, and you borrow as many vessels as you can. You borrow those vessels, and God is going to miraculously fill those vessels and provide for your need. Is that not the same story? Right? It's the same exact story. It is God saying, I am ready to move in, and I'm ready to help, but you need to dig those ditches. The second thing I want you to know about these ditches, ditches require toil, but ditches require trust. Look at verse number 17, back to 2 Kings chapter number 3 and verse number 17. Ditches require trust. Verse number 17, for thus saith the Lord, this is from the Lord, he told you to dig ditches, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water. Keep your finger there, because you got to see this in comparison. Go to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18. Now this is Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 18, watch this. They needed some rain here. There's a 3-year drought. 1 Kings chapter 18. Look at verse number 41. And it's about to rain. 1 Kings 18 and verse number 41. 1 Kings 18, 41. The Bible says in verse number 41, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. It's going to rain, King Ahab. Now, we're dealing with Ahab's son here. Verse number 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of the Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. Go again. Go again, there's nothing. Go again, there's nothing. Go again, there's nothing. Verse 44, and it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass, in the meanwhile, the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Now, can I ask you this question? Did it take a whole lot of faith to know that it was going to rain? They said, here's a cloud rising. It's a small cloud, but there is a cloud, and the sky is black, and the wind is blowing, and it's getting darker. I think it might rain. Do you ever smell rain? Go, well, I think it's going to rain. I know some of you have built-in barometers in your new knees or your back, or you go, it's going to rain. Right? The little WD-40. You kind of know, oh, it's going to rain. I can feel it in my bones. I can feel it in my fake bones. Whatever it is, you can feel it's going to rain. I love it when you watch a weatherman on TV. And it's funny if you watch it, because they're nothing but charlatans. They belong in a circus. If you watch them, it's amazing. With all the back screens and the super-duper Doppler radar 3000, 90% of the forecast is about what happened today. Do you ever notice that? This is what happened today. Like, what they tell you, you can look out your window and you know exactly what's going to happen. Like, yep, it's raining out. Yeah, it's raining. Back in Elijah's time, there's no faith required. Get in your chariot. Look at the clouds. Look at the rain. Smell the rain. The rain's coming. Prepare for it. It's coming. But do you notice that that's exactly the opposite of what happened in this news story? Isn't it the opposite? Watch what he says. Back to the same chapter, verse number 17. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 17, he says this. For this saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. You're not going to see it. Well, Lord, we could dig a whole lot more ditches if we saw some clouds in the sky. It would motivate us. Hey, if the guy got on the news and said, hey, we're going to have 4 inches of rain, and we can hear him say that, it would really motivate us to start digging ditches. They were digging those ditches solely based upon the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God said, dig the ditches. Yeah, but it don't look like rain to me. How many times do you think that was said around the thousands of men that were digging? We're going to be raining. There's no rain. And that's what God said. You're not going to see the rain. So what are we doing? We are toiling and digging ditches, and we're doing it by faith. We're doing specifically what God said to do, knowing that God is going to bring the blessings to our preparation. Does this make sense to anybody? Well, I don't know if it's going to work. It doesn't matter if we know. It doesn't matter if we feel. It doesn't matter if we smell. It doesn't matter if we see. God says, I want you to dig some ditches. I like this thought. If God said to do it, then we do it. No, I know you tell your kids to do something. I want you to do this. And sometimes they don't know why. Right? Sometimes they have no idea why. Now, I respond in kind. So if one of my kids turns around and goes, why do I have to do it? Oh, really? Because I said so. And that's sufficient, right? But if they genuinely want to know the answer, like, well, Dad, how come? Well, then I sit down and I tell them why, right? So if they're questioning the action, I answer them. But if they're questioning the authority, there is a difference. There's a difference. But I know this. I know that God is under no obligation to tell us why. Whatsoever. He says, do. Yes, sir, I will do it. But the promises of God don't return void. Meaning this. If he says for us to do something and we do it, no matter what it is, if he says to do something and we do it, no matter what people's reaction are, no matter what we see the outcome being, no matter what it is, no matter how low on the scale of priorities it needs to be and in the minds of man, if God tells us to do something and we do it, whatever it is, listen carefully, it is not in vain. It's not in vain. And I would submit to you tonight that we have certain things that, well, if we do that, that's important. And that kind of ministry is important. And that kind of job is important. The most important job is the job that God gives you specifically to do. And that job that he gives you to do is no less important than any other job. Well, I'm not the pastor. I'm not the youth pastor. I'm not this. It doesn't matter. Well, I'm not a deacon. It doesn't matter. God has something specifically for you to do. And if you do it, it is not in vain. So, digging ditches is toil. It's a lot of work. Digging ditches requires trust. Trusting in the God that says, I want you to dig the ditches. I want you to dig a lot of the ditches. And God's going to provide for it. Lastly, I want you to see the digging ditches result in triumph. So they dig the ditches. They dig the ditches. Verse number 17. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, and they may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. You're going to require a lot of rain. You do realize that if they're in this valley, if it does rain, the water is going to move very, very quickly. If you waited for rain to start digging ditches, the water is going to be there temporarily and it's going to wash away. I believe this. I believe that God blesses effort and God blesses toil. And God says, you are preparing something that's going to last. Something that's going to endure. Something that's going to not only give you water temporarily, but you'll have cisterns of water to be able to feed your cattle, to be able to water your cattle and your men. So they dig. They dig some out of trust, but we need to dig our ditches out of trust. But digging those ditches brought triumph. Because watch what happened in verse 18. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. What's a light thing? This is what God said. This is what's light about it. For God, anyway. You're going to dig the ditches, and I'm going to fill them. Oh, it's going to rain? Nope. Can you imagine being Noah? Noah, I want you to build an ark. Yes, sir. Why? Because I'm God. Because it's going to rain. Okay. What's rain? Water dewdrops are going to fall from the sky. It never rained before. Water's going to come out of the sky. Yes, sir, Lord. And he started preparing the ark. And he's building this ark. How many years? Long time. Building this ark, and you think people saw the ark? Think people, what in the world? You got a permit for that? What? No, what's going on? What are you doing? He says, I'm building an ark. This is an ark. What's an ark? It's a big boat. What's it for? It's for the water. Well, you're a long way away from the water. No. Water's going to come from the sky. What? It's going to rain. What? That whole time, while the ark was up preparing, get on the ark, God says it's going to rain. Never saw rain. Get on the ark, God says it's going to rain. We're not getting on the ark. But his preparation saved his family. His preparation saved the human race. His preparation. I guess what I'm trying to say is that God says, I'm going to fill those ditches. Oh, okay, it was going to rain. See, because we know things. We know there's ditches. We're going to fill them. Then it's going to rain. That's the way God fills ditches. Isn't it? Did you ever notice in the miracles of Jesus how he does the same miracle, but he does it a different way? Do you think any person that was blind expected to be spit on? Did anybody see that coming? Did like Dr. Luke say, okay, this is what we're going to do to fix this guy's eyes. We're going to get some mud. We're going to run in there. Oh, he sees men in the trees. Oh, he sees clearly. Why does he vary in doing the same thing, but he does it a different way? Because it's not for us to figure out. It's for us to say, oh, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it. But you said you're going to fill them. I don't know how. You said, I think rain, but you said no rain. But we're going to dig the ditches and you said you'd fill them. So how does he fill them? What is the triumph? Verse number 18. And this is what a light thing. This is no big deal that God filled, for God to fill these ditches. In the sight of the Lord, he will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. So God is going to provide water in those ditches that you're digging. He's not going to do it by rain, and he is going to deliver you from the Moabites. He's going to give you victory in this battle. Verse 19. And you shall smite every fenced city. This is what you're going to do. Verse number 20. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. You say, where's that water? I have no idea. It came by the way of Edom, and it filled up this valley of Zered. It fills it up, and as it runs off and runs down into the Dead Sea, what's left? Everything that were in the ditches. So they able to water their cattle. The men, the army was able to get their drink. So their preparation saved them. Their obedience saved them. And God was able to bless them. But I want you to notice that God tied their deliverance from thirst and drought. He tied it with the defeat of the Moabites. Did you see that? Verse 18. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. So here comes the filling water. Verse number 20. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Do you know how many of those ditches were filled? All of them. I would submit to you, if they dug one more, that would have been full too. Is that right? The woman, she says she borrows in chapter number 4, she borrows all her vessels, she borrows them all. He said, borrow not a few, borrow as many as you can. Verse number 4. And when thou art, chapter 4, verse 4. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door and pour it. Verse number 6. 2 Kings 4, verse number 6. I know I'm changing stories, but stay with me. It came to pass, when the vessel was full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel, bring me another one. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And they all stayed. That preparation. She pours the last vessel. Bring me another one, bring me another one. We don't have any more. And then there's no more oil. I want to ask you this question. If there was one more vessel, would the water keep coming out? Yeah. Do you remember when Elisha's about ready to die? The king says, Syrians are coming. What are we going to do? Syrians are coming. What are we going to do? He says, take an arrow, shoot it out the window. Shoot it out the window. Take the arrows in your hand. Beat them upon the ground. The king goes, boom, boom, boom. Elisha says, what are you doing? Do you remember the story? What are you doing? I beat it on earth. Why did you only beat it 3 times? You should have done it 5 or 6 times. Now you'll only beat them three times. Why didn't you do it more? Why didn't she get more vessels? She could add more. Why didn't they dig more ditches? Here's my question for you. Why don't we dig more ditches? Why are we content with the amount of work that we're doing right now when God could do more? What if I said, hey, you know what? Next year, Faith Promise, we're not asking you for a new commitment for Faith Promise. No, we're good. We're giving more than the average church. We're good. We're good. What would that be? Or could we do more? You know, we got enough people coming out on Saturday. We don't need any more people. Or could we do more? We're talking about digging ditches, toiling underneath the Word of God so that God can bless it more. I want to show you one last thing and we're done. Would you go with me to the book of Numbers? Numbers chapter number 22. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21. I'm so sorry. Keep your fingers in Numbers 21. I'm sorry, I didn't finish. Keep your fingers in Numbers 21. Are you in Numbers 21? Okay, are you still in 1 Kings? You didn't tell us to stay there. Let's go back to 1 Kings. I'm sorry. Numbers 21, 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 3. I got to finish this. 1 Kings chapter number 3. The digging ditches gives triumph. Now look at 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 21. 2 Kings 3, 21. Are we all right? All right. Just open your Bibles and listen to me read. Whatever, I don't care. All right. The copier is broken. All right, so 2 Kings chapter 3, verse number 21. Oh, I love you. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the on the border. Hey, those guys are right here, right? They're right here. So they're coming down through here. We don't have any water. They dig ditches under the command of God. God brings water, fills up their ditches, gives them water, saves their life. And now Moab is gathered there at the border in this valley. And the Bible says in verse number 22, they rose up early in the morning and the sun shone upon the what? What water? The water in the ditches. And the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. Now listen, the Moabites live there. They know there's no water there. Jehoshaphat thought there might be water there. The Moabites knew there wasn't any water. There's no water there. So when they look and they see the glimmering on top of the ditches, when they see the water there on the surface, they think it's blood, verse 23. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain. They have smitten one another. Now therefore, Moab, to the spoil. When they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so they fled before them. But they went forward, smiting the Moabites, even in their country. Do you realize that those ditches provided the triumph over the Moabites? Was that God's original? Did that surprise God? Or was that his original plan? Dig the ditches. Toil in there. Trust in me. I will fill up those ditches. I will provide for you, and I'll give you victory over the Moabites through the reflection of the water that's in those ditches. What a wonderful, wonderful God. Listen, I don't know what tasks you're doing, but it might seem mundane. It might seem like you just got a shovel in your hand. But if God put that shovel in your hand, then we have no idea how the Lord's going to use it. And if God calls you to dig ditches, then we dig as many ditches as we possibly can. Say, well, that's kind of mundane. And I remember once I gave a bid for this guy on this retaining wall and in a very, very well-to-do neighborhood. And I gave him the bid. And he goes, that's an awful lot of money for a shovel and rake man. Shovel and rake man. Okay, I'll take it. He saw somebody with a shovel in his hand, not worthy of that quote. But if God puts the shovel in your hand, then that's what we want to be, shovel and rake men and women, people, persons, us. Okay, now we can go to Numbers. Numbers chapter number 21. Numbers 21. And before we look at Numbers 21, I just want you to see here. So this is where they are, the valley of Zered. Here's Moabites, and this river right here on the northern part of the Moabites is Arnon, and that runs into the Dead Sea. So here in Numbers chapter number 21, we'll close with this, verse number 12. Numbers 21, verse number 12. Numbers 21 and verse number 12. From thence they were moved and pitched in the valley of Zered. Do you know where that is, folks? You do now. It's right here. Right? So this is Israel coming out of Egypt land, and this is where they are, in the valley of Zered. So in verse number 12, and from thence they removed and pitched in the valley of Zered. From thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon. Where's that? So they go through the land, they pitch here, they go through the land of Moab, and they pitch their tent here. Okay? So the Bible goes on and says this. It says, and from thence they removed and pitched on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that cometh out of the coast of the Amorites. And for Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and the brooks of Arnon. So you do remember as they came up through, we all remember what, we don't have the books of war, right? But when they came through, we all remember what happened in the Red Sea, right? He opened up the Red Sea and they walk across on dry ground. They walk across on dry ground. They walk across and they get across that thing. God closes it up. Pharaoh's army all drowned in the depths of the sea. They sing praises to God. Exodus 15. They pick up the water. Oh, this is bitter water. Would to God we were back in the land of Egypt. So from the stepping off of the dry ground all the way through here, there's one complaint. Well, there's more than one. There's more than one. There are many. But the one real complaint is, there's no water. Right? There's no water. It's the same thing that they're saying while they're here in our story. They're saying the same thing. Keep reading. The Bible says, verse number 14, wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, what he did in the Red Sea and in the brooks of Arnon, and that the stream of the brooks that goes down to the dwelling of Ar and lieth upon the border of Moab. So we're talking about this area right here. This is what we're talking about. It says this, and from thence they went to Beer. There is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them what? Water. Verse 17, then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes dig the well. Spring up, O well. Now listen to me and I'm done. We don't have the books of the war of the Lord, right? Do you have a copy of that book? Because I'd like to read it. Apparently it's not inspired and we don't have a copy of it. But this spring up, O well was a song. And it's probably not the song we sang tonight. I asked if we could sing that song tonight. Probably different tune, probably different words. But it was a song. Have you noticed how different things get translated when you were a kid? And some of you are much, much older. When you were a kid, things you used to say, kids today are saying the same things. Let me give you an example. How does this little ditty get passed from generation to generation? Ready? Na, 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 na. Right? Like, how many of you said that when you were a kid? Yeah. And kids are still saying it. Like, there's no point in time where I sat down with my kids. Now listen, if someone does something you don't like, repeat after me. Na, 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 na. Na, na. I didn't teach them that. Did I? No. But yet it transcends time. That's the power of song, right? So this story of how God provided water in this area became a song. Didn't have the book, but it was a song, spring up, oh well. God provided water where we needed water. And God's been providing water there anytime anybody ever needed it. So you're digging ditches going, well, I'm doing it by faith. I don't see any rain. Hey, do you remember that song, Spring Up, Oh Well? Yeah, I remember that song. Do you remember how God provided water from the rock? Yeah, I remember He provided water from a rock. What am I saying? I'm saying that we serve a good God. And there's no ditch that you're laboring that God doesn't know you're there. There's no ditch that you're digging that He told you to dig that He will not fill. He's always provided, and He always will provide. We just need to dig. 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 Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You so much for always being the God that provides our every need. Every need. I just imagine the kings backing off of hearing what You had to say through the mouth of Elisha. Dig ditches. We're kings. We'll dig ditches. Dig ditches. We need water. Yeah, that was Your command. And I firmly believe, Lord, that every ditch they filled, every ditch they dug, You filled. I believe with all my heart if they dug one more ditch, it would have been filled. I believe if they dug 100 more ditches, they would have been filled. I believe if that woman had one more vessel, You would have filled it. She had 100 more, You would have filled it. You've just told us to toil. Lord, the results are not up to us. They're up to You. But would You help us, Lord, to dig ditches? Would You help us, Lord, to find the task You've told us to do in Your Word? Lord, and to grab that shovel and get after it, not expecting recognition, just Your promise that one day you'd fill that You'd bless that labor, that You'd bless that work, and help us just to dig ditches, Lord, in trust and in faith. Father, as individuals, would You help us to dig? Lord, as a church, would You help us to dig? That we'd not be complacent, that we'd not be distraught. Father, we can mumble and complain, or we can dig. Father, we could stray away for lack of faith, or we can dig. We can fret, or we can dig. So I pray, Lord God, You'd help us to dig the ditches in the places You've told us to dig. And I pray, Lord God, that we'd watch You fill those ditches. And Lord, when they're being filled, Lord, that we would praise You. Lord, nothing said about people rejoicing and men rejoicing over what You did. But Lord, I'm thankful that we can read this story and realize yet once again that You are good and that You're faithful. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.